Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Eagle Brook Church. Really good to have you with us today. I was out at our Minneapolis campus last weekend, and I was at our Brainerd campus two weekends before that. And everywhere I go, I just see God working in people's lives. One of the services I was at, there was two young women kind of standing next to each other. And during the song, you could tell one of them was just really emotional about what she was singing. And her friend just reached over and put her arm around her and just held her while they sang together. And I thought, no matter what campus I'm at or what service I'm at, I see God working in people's lives. And so today, if you're at one of our campuses or if you're online watching with your family, or maybe you're just in the car listening by yourself, I truly believe that God is going to work in your life. I want to start today with a question. And the question is this: can you think of a friend in your life who has made a big difference? When I was in college, I had a roommate who would come back to our room drunk frequently, and I have all kinds of gross stories about things that would happen. And so there was one night when all the guys on our floor were going to a kegger, and I had just become a follower of Christ, and I also was not in the mood. So I was like, I just don't want to be there when all of them return back to the room. And so I went across the street to the business building. There's a business building across the street. There was a bathroom down in the basement, and I went down there, and I remember just reading a book in this basement bathroom. And it was one of the loneliest moments of my life. A couple years later, I transferred from that university to Bethel University, which is right here in St. Paul. And I remember praying a lot about my roommates, because I was like, oh, it didn't really go great the first time. I'm, really praying about this. And that was a prayer that God answered. On about my second week on campus, I was walking back to my dorm room. Two of my roommates were walking in the other direction, and they stopped me and they said, hey, would you want to go to the prayer chapel with us? I mean, I didn't even know that there was a prayer chapel. I didn't even really have ever prayed with other people, but I went with them to this little prayer chapel. And we read our Bibles kind of to ourselves, and then before we left, we all prayed together. Prayed for our other roommates, prayed for our year, prayed that we would grow in our faith. And I had never done anything like that before. I had never prayed with a group of people, especially with a couple of dudes. But from that point on, whether my roommates came with me or not, almost every night I would go to that little prayer chapel. And that's where I would meet with God. And that was where Jesus became my best friend. I thought, what a difference a good friend can make. Well, what a difference it can make of two friends who just said, hey, would you come with us to the prayer chapel? My oldest son started as a freshman this past year at Bethel, and during one of the breaks in parent orientation, I grabbed my five-year-old daughter and I brought her to that prayer chapel. I said, I want you to see where Jesus became Daddy's best friend. And then her and I got down together and we prayed for her big brother. We prayed that God would protect him, that God would guide him, that God would fill him with his love, and that Jesus would become his best friend as well. And I thought, what a difference a friend can make. My hope in this message is that this would help you to love Jesus and to know him more. And not just to know him as an idea or as a belief or even as a savior, as important as that is, but that you would begin to know Jesus as a friend. Let me ask you, how many of us here today would say, I just feel alone and lonely in life? If the statistics are correct, many of us feel that way, especially young adults. One study from 1979 to 2019 found that every single year, young adults said, I'm lonelier than I was last year. And that happened every year. From 1979 to 2019, every single year, young adults said, yeah, we're more isolated, we're more alone than we were before. Another study found that 27% of young adults say they can go weeks without ever checking in with someone who truly cares about them. And a more recent study found that 2 hours on social media a day doubles your likelihood of feeling alone and isolated in life. What a difference a good friend could make. I want to read to you a couple of verses from the Bible. This first one is from John's Gospel, and Jesus says this: greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, he says, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. What is love? Love is not a feeling. Love is a willingness to lay down your life for someone else. Love is sacrifice. But notice what Jesus says in this verse. He says, I do not call you servants, but now I call you friends. James chapter 2, verse 23, James writes, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. So Abraham trusted in God, and what was he called? He was called a friend of God. That when Abraham put his faith in God, when he trusted in him, he didn't just receive him as a savior, but he also received him as a friend. Romans chapter 5 says, we were God's enemies, but he made us his friends through the death of his son. Now that we are God's friends, how much more will we be saved by Christ's life? Over and over again, the Bible says that we can become a friend of God. And he's not just an imaginary friend. You'll hear atheists say this sometimes, especially on like social media. They'll say, oh, you're just talking to your imaginary friend in the sky. But there's good historic evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That he died on the cross, that he resurrected to life, and people saw him with their physical eyes. Yes, if Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, we are just talking to the air. But if Jesus did resurrect from the dead, then don't miss out on a friendship with God. Don't miss out on the privilege of being able to take your worry and your pain and your fears and all the burdens you experience in life and come to God and talk to him as a friend. Don't miss out on his comfort. Don't miss out on his peace. Don't miss out on the joy of being able to talk to the creator of this universe and have him listen to you as a friend. To be able to take a walk at night and just talk, look up at the stars and talk and know that God is listening to you. To be able to get in the car and just say a prayer and God is with you in that moment. To be able to whisper a prayer before you take a test or go into a meeting and know that God is with you. What a difference one good friend could make. But what a difference it makes when you are a friend of God. Let me show you four differences it makes when you are a friend of God. And the first one is this: Jesus will never cast you out. Other friends might cast you out, but Jesus will never cast you out. Here's what Jesus says in John 6. He says, all the Father gives me, this is people who come to faith, will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I eat corn funny. I never knew I ate corn funny until I had teenagers. And teenagers have this ability to just see things that you thought were normal and make you feel extremely insecure about that in your life. Now, I was an only child, so nobody told me that I ate corn funny, but I will take a cob of corn and I will eat it like Pac-Man. So I will start on the left and I'll go, and then when I get to the right, it's like a typewriter that kind of pings back. So I go, bing, bing, and 3.6 seconds, done. Now eat the next thing. I'm ready for the next one. That's how I eat corn. And my kids are so annoyed by this. They're like, oh, just stop. I can't even listen to this. This is terrible. And one night it got so bad, I felt cast out. I felt rejected. And that is not the worst rejection I have experienced in life. I mean, I've been broken up with. I've had friendships end. And you probably have as well. I mean, you stood before friends and family and God, and you said to this other person, till death do us part. And then a few years later, they parted. And it felt like a death to you. You went through a breakup and it hurt. I mean, you're still hurting as a result. You had a family member who said, I don't want you to come over anymore. You had a friend who said, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Maybe you had a group of friends who, for whatever reason, they just seemed to turn on you. And whether it was at school or in the neighborhood or just in life, and all of a sudden they started saying some things about you and you felt cast out. I want you to know today that when you put your faith in Jesus and you become a friend of God, he says, I will never cast you out. Other people might reject you. Other people might cast you out. But Jesus says, I will never cast you out. In Matthew 11, 19, Jesus quotes his critics. And here's what his critics would often accuse him of. They said, he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And they would say this in kind of a negative way. Like, here, he's a friend of tax collectors. He's a friend of sinners. But Jesus almost wears that label with pride. It's like, yeah, I'm a friend of sinners. And Jesus was a friend of sinners because he spent time with sinners. He was comfortable with sinners. And here's what's odd. They seemed comfortable with him as well. Some of the people in the Bible who had the most checkered past, the most sinful past, they seemed to desire Jesus the most. Author Dane Ortlund, in his book, Gentle and Lowly, he says this. In Jesus Christ, we are given a friend who will always enjoy rather than refuse our presence. What a truth. That if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ today, he's not in heaven going, oh my God, I don't want anything to do with you right now. He will never refuse your presence. He will never cast you out. Here's the second difference it makes to have Jesus as a friend, and it's this: Jesus will watch over you. That's what really good friends do. In 1983, there was a 63-year-old sheep herder. His name was Cliff Young, and he showed up to run the Melbourne Ultra Marathon. Melbourne Ultra Marathon, one of the most grueling races in the world, 544 miles. He showed up to run this thing wearing boots that like almost went up to his knees and overalls. 63-year-old sheep herder. He said when he ran, he was going to take out his dentures because they rattled a little bit as he was running. Cliff Young had never run a marathon before, let alone an ultra marathon that was 544 miles. They asked him, they said, are you sure you're even going to be able to finish this thing? He said, I think I'm going to be fine because I'm used to chasing after sheep. I've been running after sheep my whole life. So the race starts, the gun goes off, and the other runners just leave Cliff Young in the dust. I mean, he is so far behind early in the race, but Cliff Young had one advantage. He was used to not sleeping. Apparently, as he was chasing sheep, there was times when sheep would get away and he'd have to really go and he'd be running, chasing, walking after them for 24 hours without sleeping. And so while the other runners who had run races like this before, they would run for about 18 hours and then they would sleep for six, Cliff Young would run for 22 hours and sleep for two. No one had ever finished this race in under 7 days. But 5 days, 11 hours after the race began, Cliff Young crossed the finish line in first place. He didn't even know he got prize money. They handed him a check. He's like, what's this? He ended up splitting it with the other runners because he said they worked just as hard as I did. In Psalm 121, King David wrote these words. He said, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? And maybe that's how you feel today. Maybe you're going, where's my help going to come from? He says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Cliff Young didn't slumber, he didn't sleep, and the Bible says that there is a God who doesn't slumber or sleep. That as a friend, he watches over you. He is watching over to make sure that your foot doesn't slip. Because that's what good friends do. And Cliff Young spent his life chasing after sheep, and Jesus once said, if there's 100 sheep, and one of them is lost, I'm going to leave the 99 and I'm going to go running after that one sheep. And I will not sleep, I will not slumber until that one lost sheep is found. There are some of us here today, you are that sheep. You are that one lost person who's been wandering from God, ignoring God. And I want you to know today that there is a God who's pursuing you, and he will not sleep, he will not slumber until you are found. until he brings you home. If you're a follower of Christ here today, what a truth to know that you have a friend in Jesus who watches over you. Here's the third difference it makes. Jesus understands your pain. Here's what it says about Jesus in the book of Isaiah, a prophecy about him before he came, but it says he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. He was familiar with pain. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, called out to his disciple John, and he said, "Would you watch after my mother after I die?" And the reason that he had to say those words to John was because at some point between when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and when he died on the cross, his father, Joseph, had died. He was no longer able to take care of his mom. Jesus was familiar with pain. Jesus was beaten, he was whipped, he was despised, he was rejected. He had nails pounded through his wrists and through his feet. He was hung on a cross until he couldn't breathe another breath. And then Jesus, who had never sinned before, took the sin of humanity upon himself and experienced that pain and separation from God in that moment. Jesus was familiar with pain. Author Tim Keller wrote these words. He said, "It cannot be that God doesn't love you." And maybe you feel today like God doesn't love you, but he says, that can't be. It can't be that he has no plan for you. Maybe you're looking at the pain and suffering of your life and you're going, "God, do you love me? Do you have a plan for my life?" He says, it can't be that he has abandoned you. Jesus was abandoned and paid for our sins so that God the Father would never abandon you. The cross proves that he loves you and understands what it means to suffer. If you ever doubt that God loves you, look at the cross. Imagine Jesus hanging on that cross, and he's hanging on that cross because God so loved the world, God so loved you. This is different than any other world religion, by the way. Every other world religion says that your pain is a punishment for something that you've done. Pain is just an illusion. It should be avoided. Only Christianity says that our pain is something that God himself is familiar with. It is something that God himself understands, and that he's running alongside you in your pain. I went running with my wife a couple of months ago, and at first she was kind of running behind me. And I said, can you just kind of run up alongside me? I feel like it looks weird to the neighbors. I'm running up front and you're kind of behind me a little bit. And she's like, "Oh, I just kind of usually start a little slower and warm up and then I build up speed." I'm like, "Okay, well, let's just run alongside each other." And then she started running in front of me and I couldn't keep up. She's just better at that than I. So she's running ahead. I'm trying to keep up with her. I'm like, "Can you just run along?" We haven't run together since. Clearly, I have some pride issues here, okay? Clearly. But here's what I want you to know today. If you're in pain and you're wondering, where is God? He's running right alongside you. Even in your pain, even in your hurt, he's right alongside you. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." If you're brokenhearted today, if you're feeling crushed today and you're going, "God, where are you?" Here's where God is. He's close. One of my coworkers was telling me a story about a time her and her husband were kind of talking about how they could engage people more at church. It's just so easy to kind of come. You don't talk to anybody else. And so they were talking about this, and they came to church that next weekend, and they saw a young man about the age of my coworker's husband who was just sitting on the couch by himself. And so my coworker had to do some things in the service, or her husband was going to be sitting by himself anyway. So he went over to this guy and kind of just introduced himself, and they ended up sitting next to each other in church. And after the service, this guy kind of shared a little bit more of his story. He said, I didn't grow up going to church. He said, in fact, I'm just living by myself in an apartment, but I felt this prompting from God to explore the claims of Christianity. I mean, just think about that. He's just felt a prompting from God to explore whether Jesus Christ rose from the dead or not. And so he said, I started to explore this, I started to research this, and then I started coming to church, and through that process, he met Jesus. And he put his faith in him and his trust in him as a savior, and he was baptized. But he said these words. He said, just today. He said, it's such a coincidence. But just today, I was praying that God would send somebody that I could connect with at church. And I thought, God hears us. God sees. And what a privilege it is to talk to God about our pain and our fear and our worry and our frustrations and the things that we need. And we can come to him and talk to him as a friend. Here's the fourth difference it makes that Jesus is a friend. It says, Jesus will never let you down. Other people will let you down, but Jesus never will. I mentioned before that my oldest son went off to college this past year as a freshman, and it's our oldest child, first one to kind of leave the house. And so the night before we were dropping him off at school, I had my fantasy football draft with my friends from work. And I knew this was dicey. I went to Sarah, my wife. I'm like, I have this fantasy football draft, but I know it's the night before, you know, we're taking him to college. And she was great. She was like, no, you should go. We're always so busy running kids' activities. And so you never do stuff like that. Like, you should go. But it was an auction draft, which means you bid on each player individually, and it was taking forever. I was like, at one point, I'm like, can someone just bid on Brandon Ayuk and we can just move this thing along a little bit? At 8:30, I texted Sarah. I said, I don't think I'm going to be home till at least 10 o'clock. She didn't text back. I got in the car afterwards. I called her and she was crying. The grief of our oldest son heading off to school had just hit her, and she was just having a hard time dealing with it. And I was just in a different headspace. And so I did not handle that moment well. And Sarah got off the phone and she said, I had this thought. She said, I felt like you let me down. I felt like I needed to talk to you, and I felt like you weren't there. And then she said, it was oddly comforting because I had this thought, I have Jesus. And I can go and I can talk to him as a friend. So I guess it all worked out. She got Jesus. I got Brees Hall, okay? First round draft pick, running back, New York Jets. It worked out for everybody. No, I'm kidding. The funny part was, later that night, I kind of helped pack up the car. I laid down in bed and it just hit me. All of a sudden it hit me. And I went into the bathroom and I was just sobbing, and Sarah handled it a lot better than I had in that moment. But the next day, we dropped our son off at school. And a couple days later, I was reading in Luke's gospel. And it's this moment when Jesus is about to ascend to heaven. So he's taught, he's healed, he's died on the cross, he's resurrected to life, and now he's about to ascend back to God the Father in heaven. And I'm reading this just a few days after we've dropped my son off at school, and there was just three words that just pierced me. Here was the three words. He left them. And I thought, here was these disciples who had spent their life with Jesus. For the last 3 years, it wasn't just every miracle that they witnessed. They were there for every walk as they traveled from one town to the next. They were there for every campfire at night, and they knew him. They didn't just know him as a rabbi or the Messiah or the Son of God, but they knew him as a friend. And then he left them. And I started picturing my oldest son and remembering bringing him home from the hospital. I remember when he was just a little toddler, we would play these little pirate figure toys in the basement. And then he left. And it was good that he did. He needed to. And it was good that Jesus left. Jesus said, I needed to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come, but here's the good news that Jesus gave. He said, even though I've left, I will be with you by my Spirit. That even when other people leave you, Jesus says, I never will. Even when other people fail you, Jesus says, I never will. Even when other people let you down, Jesus says, I never will. And you might be wondering, in your life, you might be saying, well, is this everybody a friend of God? I mean, it isn't just by the fact that we're a human being, you know, that we're just isn't just that every single person is a friend of God? And the answer is no. Romans chapter 5 says this, we were God's enemies, but he made us his friends through the death of his son. Now that we are God's friends, how much more will we be saved by Christ's life? We were enemies of God. Our sin had separated us from him, but Jesus made a way. Through his death and through his resurrection, Jesus made a way that we could be forgiven of our sins, that we could experience his grace and his mercy in our life. And not only that, but that we could be called his friend. I want to show you the story of a woman in our church who has experienced the friendship of Jesus in her life. Take a look.
My name is Eve, and I live in Red Wing, Minnesota. I have a son. His name is Matthew, and he's 7 years old. I love Red Wing. It's a beautiful city, and it's been a good place to see my son grow. For the last 3 years, I've been working for Red Wing Shoes. I made boots with my hands. It is not a job for everybody, but it's been a really amazing experience. I really enjoy my life right now, but for a long time, it wasn't that way. I grew up in Venezuela. My dad was never in the picture, and I lived with my mom, my sister, and my grandma. The memories that I have of my childhood, they were not really like good, because every time my mom was at home, it was an argument about something. It was always a fight, verbal abuse. And over the years, my mom turned very violent. When you are a kid, you really don't understand what is really happening in your life. My body started to have marks. And when I have to go to a school, I have to try to cover myself, and I receive a lot of bullying. I remember being very lonely. I start with this feeling of rejection, this feeling of nobody cares. And I never get to hear anybody around me tell me I love you. Tell me you are important. You are enough. You are worthy. I never get to hear nothing of that. So I learned to cover the pain that I was feeling by cutting myself, because the physical pain, it was better than how hurt I feel over so many years. And I have this clear moment when I start thinking about, I don't want to live anymore. No kid should feel that way. As I got older, I start singing, and I start to be involved in our church. That was my escape. And that's my way to avoid the feelings and continue with your life. Try to do your life. But for a people who don't know what is love or what is a real friend, you have this hole in your soul. And you start doing all these things, trying to fill that hole. You just can't feel. And the pictures that you smile, it was so fake. But you are still hoping in your heart to find that piece that you are missing. In 2013, I met a man and we got married. I moved to America and trying to start over. 2 years later, we have a baby boy. But the idea that I have for a relationship, for having a marriage, it was very like a fantasy. In the beginning, the marriage looked like awesome. But the reality was different and became very sad for me. Making the decision to go through divorce, it was the hardest decision in my life. But you still have a little piece of hope. I need to find something better. I need to find Jesus. Is this point in your life that you feel that you have this last chance? And I feel in that moment that I want to be better for my son. I spent a lot of time of therapy. I start to take care of myself, start reading the Bible, start to pray more, and I start attending church, start doing my Bible journaling. I just start to be more depending of God. And we love to watch The Grinch. It is this part in the movie with the Grinch have his little heart, and then he let him feel love, and then his heart go pop. That's how I start feeling, like, start letting God be in my life, start letting Jesus be my best friend, and my heart start to heal, my heart start to grow. I feel happiness again. I feel that God have a purpose in my life. And now when life gets hard, I can do the things that I love to do by painting and singing. I love singing to God. And the process of healing never means that you will not go through another hard moment in your life. But now that you have Jesus in your side, you letting him be your friend, be all that you were looking for all your life, letting him fill your empty spaces. Like now, I can go back and now I see him. Now I see him in every moment, the little Eve. I was never alone, he was there with me. He was in my marriage. He was through my divorce, lonely nights, depression. He was there with me. Otherwise, I will not be here telling you this story. And it's so beautiful how he held me over all these years. And I'm so grateful now to have this beautiful life and see all the hope, feel the real love. I don't feel alone anymore because he is with me. He will never fail me. He is my real friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eve. What a friend we have in Jesus. And what a privilege we have to be able to carry everything to him in prayer. Do you know Jesus as a friend? That is my hope and prayer for you, that you know him as a friend. And that you can bring your pain and your fear and your worry and your frustration, and you can talk to him. I love the line of that song, "What peace we forfeit. What burdens we needlessly carry because we don't take it to him in prayer." Let's pray together as we close. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts and touch our lives in this moment. And that if we have put our faith in you, that we would know that we are a friend of God. What a friend we have in you, Jesus. And what an opportunity we have every day to take all the things that we're worried about and all the things that we're hurting over and bring them to you in prayer. God, I pray that we would do that this week. I pray that we would sense your presence and your peace and your comfort. I pray that we would know that you are right alongside us and you are close to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, join us next weekend for our Christmas services. We think it's going to be a great service. We'll see you then.